until you are walking in the land of no opposites. And then all who see thee see the Father who sent you. Whatever you do is under grace. Everything that you touch is a divine activity. Because the outer form isn't doing the touching. The outer form is just the final effectual appearance of what you are doing in your spiritual selfhood, invisible to man. This is all just a beginning. It is the beginning of your true consciousness on earth. And as you live in it, you have found your permanent teacher, your permanent state of being. You have found the infinite Father within. You have found the truth. And you are free in that truth. Now consciously strive to develop the consciousness which will accept no negatives, no opposites to that which is. You needn't fight it. You needn't oppose it. You needn't defend against it. You needn't run from it. Nor need you overcome it or better it or improve it or correct it. If it's opposite to a quality of God, it is pure myth. It is fiction. It is imagination. And you cannot overcome a myth. You merely know. Every evil in this world is such a myth. But you must go beyond the myth of evil. For if you do not accept the myth of matter, then the dualities of evil will cling to you. Now we're not going to cling to any forms if we are living in the true consciousness. That doesn't mean we turn around and give away our wealth, give away our furniture, give away our automobile. It means that there is a consciousness where it is not necessary to cling to forms. And you must live in that consciousness. In that consciousness, you will know when to give and when not to. In that consciousness, the law of intelligence, which is the intelligence of God, will tell you when to cast bread upon the waters, or when the waters are not there. Always, to live in that consciousness which knows no opposites is the acceptance of God's statement that His creation was good. There never was an evil in that which is called the creation of God. And to accept an evil as a reality that must be met in some way is to step out of the consciousness which is the consciousness above opposites. And that is above the senses. Above the brain, above the heart, above the lungs, above the liver, above the physical form, above the five human senses, above the material self, is the eye of your being. And that eye is the only life that is present where you stand now. You can feel that eye when you relinquish your concepts. That eye seems to be palpable. Almost ready to move and do something. It's just the dropping away of what isn't, and then the I seems to be very available. Now that I has perfect everything. That I is not encumbered. That I is not concerned about what the world's going to do tomorrow, or whether Nixon will do this or that, or whether bombs are going to be thrown, or whether diseases are going to invade a community, or what's going to happen to the monetary system. That I is independent of the complete physical world. And when you're living as that I, knowingly, accepting it to be your substance, your being, your brain, your mind, your consciousness, your soul, the very substance of God, you find slowly you become equally independent of this world. The sensitivities that made you dependent slowly are desensitized. That emotional jag that we all wanted at one time and don't want to give up, that's desensitized. And it opens the door to the fuller flow of a joy for which there is no human equivalent. For this joy is not interrupted. This joy does not depend upon tomorrow's weather, or tomorrow's state of mankind, or tomorrow's whims, or tomorrow's health. This joy is the permanent dispensation of the Father. A new love, a new awareness of the meaning of love, which is beyond the scope of all mortal mind. A new everything. A new self, which you know isn't going to be buried. A new self which you know is always functioning as the perfect divine image and likeness. And although that self is so far above what we can conjure up in our human minds at the moment, it graciously feeds us slowly, just as we would feed a child. First the little pablum, and then later the solid foods. So it feeds us and graciously, gently lifts us into itself, into light that we have never seen, into sounds we never heard, sights that are unbelievable, into truth. And we find that we are, in some measure, experiencing the reality that the mystics have reported, the reality known to Jesus and John and Paul and Peter and Joel. Just the slightest tint of that reality is enough to show us that we're moving in the right direction. Now, I've given no name to this idea of seeing the capsule called a form inside of a larger area of consciousness. It needs no name. It does need the practicing of it. And so right now, 5 feet to your right and to your left, below you and above you and behind you, there is only perfection. This has ever been so. You have the right to sit back in your pre-existent perfect consciousness and know that just as a form appeared here bearing your name and a form will disappear from here bearing your name, neither the coming or the going of that form made one bit of difference in the reality of your being. To live in that consciousness is to be alive. For that is life. That is consciousness. And all else is the imitation of it. When Jesus lived in that consciousness, he spoke with authority. His words were backed by the spiritual power of that consciousness. And so with us, we live by the word of that consciousness. For all infinity pours through that consciousness, and every activity of your being is ordained, predestinated, fulfilling the divine plan, and is a complete extension into the visible of that which is the pre-fabricated perfection of the invisible kingdom. You are bringing heaven into visibility on earth, and everything you bring forth that way is tied to, it is one with the invisible, unseparated from it and under its grace. You're speaking with tongues, living with tongues. Now, it's much easier to do this than not to. Not to do it takes no effort at all, but it takes a lot of effort then to cope with the problems that arise when you don't do it. The initial effort may be greater to do it, but in the long run, and very quickly, even in the short run, the effort you put into doing it eliminates the need to strive and cope and vie and compete with all of the human activities that attack our human consciousness throughout the day. Our peace follows very quickly. Now, while you're doing this, it may occur to you that this is something you want to do more than just tomorrow or the next day. It may occur to you to build upon this so that as you discover new qualities of God, you add them to the list of that which is in this square or cube in which the physical form is walking. You may not have known that the word protection was a living force in this area around you, and therefore add it when you are aware of it. And now think of a fire and a flood, and realize that protection means the fire will not kindle upon you, the flood will not drown you. Because this would have to be the truth if you know that the Spirit of God is where you are, then you also know that there can be no flood or fire there at the same time. You also know that the intelligence that is there would move you to a place where the appearance called flood or fire would not be in the same spot that you are. You're always aware then that the perfect law of God in its own way will function constantly where you are. And so you're able now to suspend all human concern. You're not concerned about tomorrow's dollar. How it comes is going to be the concern of this intelligence. You may have a need for tomorrow's dollar to buy a certain kind of clothing. And this intelligence may transfer you to an area where that clothing is not needed. You may have need for tomorrow's dollar for another purpose. And this intelligence may fulfill its purpose in you in such a way that that purpose is erased. Do not outline what you want. Let this complete area be lived by the Spirit that is there, and accept it as yourself. But don't live in it with a human brain. Live in it as the complete consciousness of it and dwell in the silence until you can feel that consciousness. When you do, you will know why we had this meeting tonight. When you're dwelling in a 10-foot consciousness, you will see why we are taking this hypothetical area, and then you will say, well, if I can feel a 10-foot consciousness, why can't I feel a 100-foot consciousness? And then you will see that God is the only consciousness. And if you could feel God in 10 feet, remember, God is in all time and space, all eternity and infinity, and therefore that which you are feeling of God is really the allness. Now, if all of us were in this consciousness tonight and tomorrow and the next day, we would have our 10 righteous men and the light of God shining through all of us would build a new city here. A city that would be invisible. A city of Christhood. And that would be lifting the eye of the entire community. Of the entire city, of the entire state. And this is precisely what you and I are doing. We are building the invisible Christ consciousness so that the kingdom of God on earth is not being something apart, prayed to, sought after, but is the living realization of each of us, each in his measure to which he can receive that grace. And unquestionably, the fruits of the Spirit must follow. We seek not the fruits, but they follow. We seek the realization of my Spirit. For in that you have the eternal cause as your very substance, one with Source. Now, error, sin, crime, war, hate, greed, lust, pain, suffering, death, disease. We could name 300 of these. These are the opposites. They are not of God. These are the negatives. They are not of God. And therefore, they have no real existence. They are images and thought. Their parent is the world mind. Call it the collective subconscious. Call it what you like. But that world mind is the imitation of the divine mind. Wherever there is that which is, the imitation will always appear. And it will have no real existence. If you are able to face any opposite of God with no defense, and no offense, seeking in no way to overcome it, knowing that God's will is being done, you will find the power of that will right where you stand. As long as you do not deny that that power and that will are functioning now, in spite of the appearance, you will discover that that power and that will do function in your consciousness. And the appearances will be erased right there in your consciousness. For the only place that they ever exist is in your false consciousness. They are never out there. If they were out there, actually, you could never remove them. And if they were out there, actually, God would have had to put them there because there is no other creator. God did not put them there, and therefore they are not there. This is the overcoming of your false consciousness, which is the channel for the hypnosis. Take every negative and weed it out of that area of consciousness that you're building, so that you can instantly recognize it whenever it seems to crop up and erase it as a belief, until you have accepted the perfect consciousness of God surrounding you. You are surrounded in divine sonship. Now, I know some who think that their incorporeal selfhood in one breath, and in the next breath, they have corporeal problems. Do you see how the corporeal problem makes you think you're a corporeal being? And so inadvertently, while saying I am incorporeal spirit, we entertain a corporeal problem, and this is a denial of our own alleged understanding. So you cannot have bad vision and say I am incorporeal spirit too. You can say I am incorporeal spirit, and therefore bad vision is a false appearance. There is no bad vision in incorporeal spirit. And therefore, bad vision has no existence. What happens next? If you have erased it in consciousness, the bad vision disappears. That's what happens next. If you're in a situation of lack and you refuse to accept that lack is possible in the incorporeal self, in the spiritual being that you are, if this is your conviction, if this is your knowing, if this is your realization, it is inevitable that the situation of lack will disappear. Whatever is your realization of the truth that is pre-existent, that will be your ultimate experience. All of the fullness of God is already embodied in your pre-existent consciousness. And if you will not accept the adulteration of this world and will stand fast in your consciousness of truth, your consciousness of truth will externalize as the truth in form. And the truth is always God's perfection. You see, the principles are very clear. It's the practicing of these principles that gives us the difficulty. Unaware in the earliest stages of our work that hypnosis is a permanent state of being on the earth, we thought you could meditate for an hour, or maybe 20 minutes, or maybe three times a day. And when we did that, we got such harmony that we thought, oh my heavens, I found Aladdin's lamp. But when we were rejoicing, we were unaware that hypnosis was permanent until completely erased, and that rejoicing was very short. Because hypnosis kept working while we, thinking we had done something great, we reverted to our old consciousness. Now we know that because hypnosis is permanent until I, through my permanent awareness of the presence of spirit, become dehypnotized, now we never cease. We never stop knowing the truth. We know that the moment we stop knowing the truth, hypnosis steals in and knows the lie for us, and that's what outpictures in our experience. And so without ceasing, we're knowing the truth, and that's the only prayer there is. We don't pray to God. We know that God is spirit, and I am that spirit. And that the qualities of that spirit are right here. And they are power when they are realized in my consciousness. And therefore I realize it in my consciousness all the time. And then the power of the qualities of God must manifest in that consciousness instead of the powers of this world. And so you can see clearly that there is no time when you can be unaware of your spiritual identity and the spiritual identity of the universe without losing ground. The moment you're unaware, you must lose ground. Because hypnosis is always present and will steal in the instant you are not watching. It should be easy now to recognize any quality that is not like God and take a minute to pause. You don't have to jump that quickly. Just take a minute to pause, whether it's lack or limitation or sickness or threat or pain or whatnot, take that minute and know that this can only occur in a false consciousness. And therefore, get out of the false consciousness by knowing God is running a perfect universe. God's work is being done. This spot whereon I stand and the 10 feet around it are the perfect spirit. I can trust that for 5 minutes and just rest. And then you'll feel this glow of spirit within you in its response to your acceptance of it. And its power is the power. You've unpacked, you've unseen, you've unknown, you've unheard. You've got rid of all your beliefs about the problem and have accepted the one presence, the one soul, the one mind, the one life. And if all that surrounds you and stands where you are is the one life, you're in the Immaculate Conception. You're pure. You're in Christhood. That is the beginning of the real spiritual adventure. That is the beginning. For that is how it lives itself and lifts you into the realms where the human mind cannot travel. Now on your July 4th riding, remember that wherever you are is the Spirit of God. But don't make it a mental activity. Release yourself to that Spirit. Let the consciousness not be your mind. But let it be the fullness of that spirit that surrounds you. Accept it as being right where you are and all around you until you feel it. And then let go of the desire to manipulate or to run something and let the spirit live itself. And then that road isn't going to be any problem, nor is the life that unfolds from that spiritual experience. We're driving tonight for the spiritual experience of true consciousness. Not a mental understanding of it. Not the words of the mouth, but the word of the Father in you functioning as you. And I do know that if you will apply yourself with no end in mind but the realization of that presence through your rejection of every opposite to that presence, that you will reach a point where the Spirit will do more than meet you halfway. Suddenly I am come. And out of nowhere, the fullness of God begins to feed you faster than you can accept. The climbing is long, but the sunrise and the sunburst after that opens a vast panorama. Now that spiritual experience, that the consciousness of God is my consciousness now, is just something that comes inside. You may feel yourself incorporeal at that moment. You may find that your memory is very sharp at that moment. You can suddenly, you're back in the Alleghenies where you haven't been for 43 years. Suddenly you're remembering friends you haven't seen in 20 years. Suddenly the air smells like fresh lilacs. Suddenly there's no form where you stand. The room isn't there. Suddenly you're just pure consciousness. And that's pay dirt. You're one. And that consciousness is your consciousness and will be the guiding light until you step out of it back into a human one. That consciousness is what we seek. That is the kingdom of God. And just one further suggestion is, don't seek it out there. Right where you are, it is, and only it is. Remove what isn't there, and you will find the consciousness is there now. All that isn't there must be removed. Onion skin by onion skin, concept by concept, until that which is there announces itself. And then where you are, where you are, where you are, I, the consciousness of God, am revealed. And now we are of one household, one Father, one Source, one Creator, one perfect, infinite I. And the infinite is living itself individualized as you, as me, as him, as her. All in the infinite and the infinite in all. I in thee and thou in me. This is how it is. And any time it isn't, we're living in a false state of being in the opposites. Now, if you will, let us see that the law of gravity is a law that governs physical forms only. I being incorporeal spirit, that incorporeal spirit that I am, is infinite. It is not governed by any material law. The Christ of my being is not under the law of gravity. Therefore, at this moment, the I that I am is not under the law of gravity. And there is no power on earth to hold the I that I am under such a law. And therefore, I have never been held under such a law. I am completely free of any human law, any physical law, any physical power. Where am I? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And God is not held by laws of gravity. You may wish to meditate on this right now. It may open up something you had never suspected. It was through this realization that the mystics could report that they had gone through space. They had passed the point of being physical beings. They were incorporeal spirit. Gravity had no hold over them. And of course, as you know, Joel made many flights, and this is the way they were made. But it isn't done because you will it. It will be because you have learned who you are, and then the rest is grace. We never try to visualize or to determine any activities. We let the spirit be itself. We just get rid of this false baggage called a human consciousness. The two things you could do would be, one, to meditate on this law of gravity as compared to your individual selfhood, which is spirit, and two, is to build this ball of consciousness which envelops you, and it will tell you what to do next. And so, happy July 4th.